appreciated the scripture reading this morning and the responses, those thoughts about being reconciled. This Christ's love appeals or compels us, I guess it is, that to be a part of this reconciliation. And Katrina and I really feel like that's part of our calling, and that passage especially has been a part of our a part of this calling process, but really important to us for quite some time. And if you haven't figured it out, Katrina and I are planning to move to East Africa this spring. We've accepted a three-year assignment there. And I also realize that some of you have heard about this multiple times already. But that's okay. We need you to help tell our story and the story of the good work that God is doing in East Africa. And so we certainly invite you to do that. So those of you who've heard a lot, you get to hear a little bit more. And as much as Leslie's been praying against it, our plan is to move right around Easter, right before Easter this year. And that's assuming we get our funds raised and the country calms down a little bit. There's been a kind of a disastrous presidential election that has taken place and been drawn out over a long period of time. And be glad to talk to you about that if that's something that interests you. And there are lots of Quakers in East Africa, as it turns out, mostly in Kenya, but also Uganda and Tanzania. And of course, we know friends in Rwanda and Congo and in Burundi. Somewhere between 140 and 180,000 Quakers in those, at least those three far East African countries of Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. And for comparison, there's about 140,000 in the Americas, North America, South America, and Central America combined. So that's where the largest collection of Quakers are in the world, in that place. East African Friends, I think there's a slide coming up here. East African Friends are a part of Friends United Meeting, and FUM for short is what we refer to it as. And this is a collection of 34 full yearly meetings, and 20 of those are in East Africa. And one of the world offices is in Kisumu, Kenya, where we will live. And we refer to it as the Africa Ministries Office, and that will be our home base. And the rest of the FUM Quakers are mostly in North America, some in Central America and the Caribbean as well. But their headquarters are in Richmond, Indiana, and some of you know Colin Saxton, and that's where Colin is the general secretary. So Colin gets to be our boss for a few more months before he heard we were coming, so he's now resigned and is moving back here. So it's all about balance in the universe or something. I don't know what this is, but we feel like this calling to be ambassadors of reconciliation from the passage that Sammy read this morning connects well with the mission of FUM. And it also meshes well with the job description that we have. And I'll just say a couple of things about it, and Katrina's going to come share. But we get to work at telling the story of East African Friends to the rest of FUM and the rest of the world, for that matter, especially to the Quaker world. And this includes the challenge of finding ways to communicate amongst African yearly meetings. You know, if you think about it, we're not always very aware of what's going on in other yearly meetings around the United States even. Well, the same is true in East Africa. Many of the yearly meetings don't know what other yearly meetings are doing. The Ugandans don't know what's happening in some of the yearly meetings in Kenya and vice versa. So that's part of our role as well as helping tell those stories back into the rest of FUM. And so we get to work with this group of 20 East African yearly meetings, and especially focused on their 6 or 7 projects that FUM is involved in. And just this last summer, they put together this series of pamphlets or brochures about those different projects. The yearly meetings themselves are doing projects often, but these are the ones that FUM gives a lot of time and support and attention to. And there are copies of these out on, there's a table with some of our our stuff out there. And so there are several of these that are particularly interesting and we're excited to be involved with. But all of the projects are directed and led by Africans. All of them are serve other Africans, especially those who are marginalized. And they're all at least partially funded by Africans. A lot of support, all financial support, also comes from the West. But so there's a lot of ownership in these projects as well. And so we hope to become facilitators, kind of a bridge between Western friends and African friends. And we hope FUM has this program called Living Letters, and we hope that program will kind of blossom and grow in East Africa. It's a way to have people come and serve for 3 to 12 months. It's very similar to our Friends Traveling and Service that Lynn has been doing in Ramallah, also with FUM there. But we'd love to have people, young people on a gap year or empty nesters or retired folks who want to serve in some way for 3 to 12 months or maybe even longer. You can see where we're going to live here. The right on Lake Victoria, the arrow is pointing at the city of Kisumu. So you would have a great experience being able to be there. And there's a, I think there's a picture of the front yard of the guest house. You can come and pick avocados off the avocado tree or limes off the lime tree or mangoes off the mango tree or some of it. Anyway, you get the idea. One of the projects that we're excited to work with happens in another part of Kenya, and it is called the Friends Church Peace Team. And you can see kind of an idea. It's up on the border of Uganda and Kenya, this particular place where they're working in several places. And Katrina is going to come and share about that a little bit.
I just have to say first, it's nice to be back and feel at home. We had some great experiences in the churches we visited in Indiana, but it is different, kind of a different culture. Maybe it's a good first step practicing. But I don't know the churches we went to. It's like they just sang two hymns. And afterwards, you know, the pastor of one church said, "You did really well. I think people connected with you. You talked about Jesus, but not too much." So that was, that was good. And then another church, it was kind of like the opposite at another church. And we're like, "Oh, I don't know what to, all right, I'll just be myself. I don't know." So, there's quite a broad, FUM as a collection of yearly meetings is a little broader than some of our experience around here. I wanted to talk about one of the projects we're going to be working with in Kenya. It's called Friends Church Peace Team. And I want to start by saying that one of my own areas of just personal growth in recent years has been in the area of understanding issues of race and racism in the United States. And I have so much to learn about where I fit into all of this and how my Quaker testimonies of peace and equality can be informing my daily life. And I have a lot to learn. I feel like I'm a little bit late to the game sometimes. And now, as we're getting ready to move to Kenya, we could use your prayers as we take on learning about a whole nother country that has been profoundly affected by issues of race. From a distance, I think it can be naively easy to think of Kenya or maybe any other group that's out there far away from us as a single group of people. But it's really made up of many diverse tribes and ethnic groups, and they have unique languages and cultures, and due in part to these many complicated layers of tribalism, a corrupt 2007 presidential election led to an eruption of violence and protesting, which left over 1,200 people dead and thousands of people displaced from their homes. And Kenyan Quakers knew that they had a message of hope in the peace testimony, and they had a desire to share it. And out of this crisis, Friends Church Peace Team was born. Almost immediately, they began to develop and implement programs of education and healing in order to prevent such a tragedy from occurring again. Friends Church Peace Team is coordinated by Getri Aguiza. She's a strong and courageous woman who's a mover and a shaker. She might actually qualify as a force of nature. I don't know. But she's an agent of reconciliation. We've only just met her, but we're already so impressed with who she is and the passionate way that she's living out her calling to be a prayer warrior and a peacemaker. In September, when we were on our two-week discernment trip to visit Kenyan friends and the ministries there, one day Getri took us way up in the hills to meet with some folks who came way down from the mountains to tell us about another way the Friends Church Peace Team is changing their corner of the world. For nearly 3 hours, we sat in a circle with about a dozen Peace Team facilitators, and we listened to their stories about how trauma healing and reconciliation had... had changed their own lives and their communities on Mount Elgon. Mount Elgon sits on the border between Kenya and Uganda and has been plagued by severe poverty and land rights issues since the time of British colonialism. Sometime back, out of desperation and hopelessness, a guerrilla militia group formed, hid in the mountains, and terrorized people, hoping that their demands for justice would be heard. They kidnapped child soldiers and killed and tortured people in the villages. A few years ago, the army got involved to try to end things, but only escalated the violence and made it worse. Then in 2009, a few people from that area attended a Friends Church Peace Team three-day workshop on trauma healing and reconciliation. It was part of the post-election program, but it began a rippled effect of unexpected applications for the violence and fear that gripped Mount Elgon. And I'll let some of them tell their stories in their own words. Erastus was the first man who shared. He said, "I had been displaced after the election violence. In 2009, I attended a training, then became a trainer, and then I went home. I had hatred of other people, but the trainings transformed me and helped me to forgive others. I wanted others to have the same chance to forgive and be changed." Frederick shared, "Violence brought division to communities, and perpetrators were not seen as humans, only enemies. I was arrested by the soldiers. I was angry and wanted revenge on the person who said I was an offender. When I came back from jail, I went to the training in 2009 and learned about peace. The training got into me. I realized I had offended people there, and they me. They forgave me, and I forgave them. Later, I was asked to be a community elder, and I had learned how to control my anger and how to forgive." Helen shared, "I was a victim of the conflict. Erastus came and talked about peace. In my head, I asked how peace could help me. Erastus said, if I got 20 people together, they could have a training. One participant who showed up was someone who had killed my parents. And I realized that forgiveness could give me another life. I started preaching reconciliation and forgiveness, and people asked me what had changed. Soon, even the perpetrators began to realize they didn't have peace in their hearts. Before, I was like a stone, and now I am like a mirror." Jonah. "In 2012 was the first time I got in a vehicle, and I went to Lugari yearly meeting. I found a program of trauma healing. Back in 07, I was in very bad shape. Because of poverty, some of us were forced to do very bad things. In this training, I got good teaching, and I went back home. I went home and asked forgiveness. I've now helped train my community, and through FCPT, we are bringing people together. Stephen. I was the last person here to meet FCPT because of the fear that I had. I was second in command in the militia. After the Army operation, I was in prison for 3 years. And when I came home in 2011, Erastus was still doing peace training. Many victims wanted revenge. People hated us so much, so we hid. I was afraid they would use my story against me. In 2014, I finally went to the training with the other ex-militia. I was so touched and changed. The training gave us strength to come together and to be forgiven by our community. We were able to win back trust. We were able to take the training to the people who are still in the militia. It gave back the fruits and more change and peace. It takes time, but I have been given peace, and now I can walk freely in my village. We are now trying to bring peace to our young people and are asking them to bring back their arms. We have a hard task. Please pray for us. As I listened to their stories, I noticed a common thread: Erastus. Almost everyone there mentioned Erastus in their own journey to peace. Initially, Erastus was a very quiet man and would hardly speak when he first attended a trauma healing workshop. But the training changed his life, and like Andrew, the disciple who brought people to meet Jesus, Erastus couldn't help but want everyone to know the peace and the healing that he had experienced. There have been times when he was afraid for his own safety, but he knew he had to reach the militia because they hadn't had a chance to find peace. Erastus became a pastor and a trainer with Friends Church Peace Team. And everywhere he walks on Mount Elgon, he brings the gospel and the good news of peace to the people.
You can see why we are moved in this exciting venture calling that we are moving towards. And we hope to be really a good support and encouragement to folks who are carrying out these just really life-changing ministries. And we're excited about that. We really hope you'll be our sending church, that there would be those of you here that would commit to keeping in touch. Well, you know, why do we use that phrase, keeping in touch? There's something about touch, isn't there? There's something about connection that we need. And so it's not just a flippant phrase that we say, would you keep in touch? We need that touch and encouragement of notes and letters and a Skype call here and there. I'm a fairly social guy, and the thought of being away from you all is really difficult. We need people who would pray for us and would keep up enough with us and with what we're doing to know what our prayer needs are, even. We need people who would actually read our newsletters. Big commitment, I know. There's even a sign-up sheet out there on that table. Would you put your name on there if you'd like to receive the newsletter that we put out? We put out one in November, and I sent it through the North Valley e-group here, but we'd like for you to be able to receive that right directly to you. So sign up on there if you would. Also, we need people who would commit to a monthly financial pledge for us. We have to raise all 3 years' worth of support before we leave. It can be in pledges, too. And we don't want you to stop giving your tithe to North Valley. That's important. But if you talk about it as a family, maybe some of your kids would even enjoy being in on the conversation. And I was going to say, young people in the room who have an email address, we'd love to send you our newsletter as well. So if you're interested in being a part of that, please feel free to sign up as well. But it turns out, you know, we've been, well, I'll go back to, I sidetracked there. We do have, by the sign-up sheet, there are also some little pledge sheets with a return envelope like this. So you can sign, or you can talk to one of us about how to sign up online if that's your thing. We've had the joy, Katrina and I have, of supporting other people over the years, and so has our congregation here. We've supported folks. People are helping Lynn. We've Hal and Nancy Thomas. We've had a long list of folks, Heidi and Michael Pender, other people who have been a part of our congregation that we have had the joy of helping. And I have enjoyed that, but the shoe is on the other foot now, and we're learning more and more about God's provision in being on this side of things. And let me assure you that the amount of your pledge matters less to us than being able to see those monthly pledges come in. When we see your name on that, it means a lot to us. The amount isn't the part that matters so much. And we feel like we're being sent by all of you. And that's a great encouragement to us. So as we head into some time of waiting worship here, there's some prayer requests that you could take into that time of open worship with you. And if you want to use those as a way to spend some of your time in open worship, or maybe you're feeling a nudge of some sort that through our story or through the scripture of being agents of reconciliation, God's prompting something in you, and maybe you need to sit with that for a while as well. So I'd invite you into that. We'd love to be able to talk with you more. Again, hit our table out there and get information if you'd like to be a part of this. Thank you.